You are listening to a sermon by John Nofziger, recorded on Sunday, November 22, 2015, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning. It is good to be here, and I am pinch hitting, as you have heard. Charlotte is in Winnipeg attending the funeral of a very dear friend's husband who passed away. She sends her greetings. I was in communication with her this morning, so she sends her greetings to you. She was going to speak to you about her month, or her time, a little over a month, in Iraq this past July. It was her second trip back to Iraq, part of the Chaldean Catholic Church English instruction. 5 years ago, in 2010, she served at the seminary to teach English to seminarians. This time, it was at an international baccalaureate school that the Chaldean Church has begun. She was teaching the teachers as instruction into school. It's all done in English. So she was teaching advanced English as well as English pedagogy. She hopes she can come back and speak with you again and share some of that experience to introduce you to some faces and names of our brothers and sisters in Iraq. From the Mennonite World Conference Shared Convictions: the Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all aspects of life, so we become peacemakers who renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice. In light of the events that have happened around the world, the violent events in Beirut, Baghdad, Egypt, Yemen, Tunisia, Turkey, and of course the media coverage we've had out of Paris this past week, and along with the responses that politicians have given, what broader society has given, it is clear that one objective that is being met of terrorism is to create and exacerbate a culture of fear. I reflect, what voice can we as Anabaptist Christians add to that mix? What can we, or what should we, speak to that contributes to a culture of peace and not fear? Now, fear is a normal human reaction, but we all know that fear can consume people, can consume us. It can distort our perceptions and understandings and prevent us from living healthy lives. In a climate of fear, people may be easily manipulated to target and isolate certain groups who seem responsible for their fear. We project our fears onto the other. I've heard and read much of the knee-jerk reactions from politicians calling for a merciless response to the events that happened in Paris. Some are quite sweeping, directing revenge broadly, and some that may impact victims, re-victimizing the victim. Indeed, we have heard reports of mosques being burnt. We've heard of Muslim students being brutally attacked in Toronto. In Fort St. John, there's a petition being circulated that Syrian refugees not be allowed to be resettled in that northeast British Columbia. 1,500 signatures as of Friday. At all times, including in times of fear and terror, Christians are called to remember who they are: children of God, followers of Jesus, people of peace. And as I said earlier, many voices in society are calling us to fear, to despair, and to hate, yet our identity as Christians calls us to do otherwise, to respond in faith, hope, and love. During the Vietnam War era, a social activist called A.J. Musté would stand outside the White House every night during that long, drawn-out conflict. Musté would hold a candle in all kinds of weather, rain or shine, and one evening a reporter came up to Musté and asked him if he really thought that by standing outside the White House, holding a candle night after night, he would change the policies of the United States. To which Musté replied, "Oh, sir, you've got it all wrong. I'm not doing this to change the country. I do it so the country won't change me." As Christians steeped in Anabaptist Mennonite theology of nonviolent peacemaking, we too need to hold our candles. We need to tell the stories, such as Rutili Rivas in Colombia and others, that we do not allow the country or the world or broad society calling for fear and hatred to change us. Recall the conviction from Mennonite World Conference. As peacemakers, we renounce violence, love enemy, and seek justice. Challenging, provocative words in our climate today. So how do we as followers of Jesus live faithfully in this context? How do we address the climate of fear? How do we relate to those as the other? How do we live out and share the peace of Christ? Christ encourages us to face our fears even while refusing to be consumed by them. He invites us to reach out in friendship and love to neighbors and strangers. Christ asks us to resist stereotyping. He calls us to renounce all violence and place our trust and hope more deeply in the one who calms the storm. Now, I won't pretend to offer definitive answers, but allow me also a story that shines beacon light to an appropriate response. The first 2 weeks of this month of November, I've had the privilege of itinerating Dan and Jeannie Yancey, who are MCC area directors for Southeast Asia. They are now living in Thailand, but had spent the previous 12 years in Indonesia as the reps for that country. This is, in part, the story that they have shared in numerous and varied locations around British Columbia. And like the story of Rutilio Rivas, this story will provide insight to ways our family, Indonesian Mennonites, are living out their responses to the questions I posed earlier about living faithfully. Now let's remember that our brothers and sisters living in Indonesia live in a minority, as a minority in the nation that has more Muslims than any other nation in the world. Listen again to the words of Paul that shape our rules of engagement, if you will, as followers of Jesus, as we relate to people who may be very different from us. Same words that were read earlier. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack zeal, but be ardent. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the mystery of God. No. If your enemies are hungry, buy them lunch. If they are thirsty, give them a glass of water. In doing so, you will surprise them with goodness. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the story that Dan and Jeannie shared. In 2001, MCC joined with the Indonesian Mennonite Church, specifically a pastor, Paulus Hartono, to participate in and support the Forum for Peace across religions and groups in the city of Solo, Central Java. From now on, I'll be using the acronym, it's the Indonesian acronym, FPLOG, for this group. It doesn't match up with the English, it's the Indonesian acronym. And also, I will inform you that Solo is known as the barometer of the country of Indonesia. The pressure that is felt in Solo is felt around the country. If it is calm in Solo, it is calm in the country. If there is violence in Solo, there is violence throughout Indonesia. Another infamous designation attributed to Solo is that all persons from Indonesia who have ever been convicted of terrorist acts have been from the city of Solo or have attended extremist training camps there. FPLOG. FPLOG is an interfaith body which brings together Catholics, Muslims, Buddhists, Protestants, Hindus, followers of Confucius to work together for peace in the city of Solo. The group does not try to come together with any sort of shared faith identity. Each one brings motivation for peace from their faith background, their faith identity. Mennonite pastor Paulus Hartono, who I mentioned before, has been an inspiring visionary in this group. And when asked how he explains his peace motivation as a Christian to people of other faiths, his answer is quite simple. Working for peace is what Christians do. We follow Jesus' example and call Christ the Prince of Peace. Over many years, FPLOG has worked tirelessly to reduce religious radicalism in Solo through building personal relationship directly with the most radical and militant people and groups. By drinking lots of tea, sending text messages of greetings for holidays and out of their religious tradition, and by inviting others of different belief to work along to help others, friendships across major ideological divides are made. One project FPLOG has undertook is to map the city of Solo, and in so doing so, have networks of religious leaders ready to step in and offer crucial leadership in times of violence. They have organized focus groups around Solo to conduct risk mapping of potential conflicts, and then work to resolve the root causes of these conflicts. They hold trainings to help parents of teenage sons be wary of radical recruiters. They provide vocational training programs so that poor people aren't attracted to the militias as a means of identity and status. With the support of MCC, FPLOG has conducted conflict transformation trainings with over 150 members of a paramilitary group at their invitation. This happened after years of building a relationship of trust and respect. The militant group decided to transform itself from a militia into an organized team of humanitarian responders to proactively build peace by serving others in times of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and floods. So FPLOG has organized disaster response crews that intentionally include people of different faiths coming together to serve affected communities. Back in 2001, as the U.S. was making plans to invade Afghanistan, there were militant groups, this one I mentioned before, that were using threats of violence to close churches and sweep all Americans out of Java. It was in this time that Paulus Hartono began meeting with the commander of the militant group to alter his perspective by highlighting common fundamental values of peace and mercy that both Christians and Muslims share. Paulus Hartono, as a well-respected person within FPLOG, was asked to mediate a conflict between the militant group and more moderate Muslims. Thus, he garnered respect from this militant commander. In 2003, Paulus Hartono asked the militant commander, Pak Yani, if he would meet with MCC representatives. He refused, because even though he began a relationship with Christians, he still did not like Christians and hated Americans, because they were perceived to be aggressors against Islam in the war campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq. Let's fast forward a couple years. December 2005, the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia, specifically the province of Aceh in Indonesia. It was there where MCC partnered with Mennonite churches in a disaster response. And Aceh is a province which is about 98% Muslim. Christians, Mennonites, are a very, very small minority of people. Paulus invited the aforementioned leader, Pak Yani, who had received this training to be to transform from militancy to a human response team, to join him, other moderate Muslims, Indonesian Christians, and North American Christians to work together to help the community to recover from the devastation. And this wasn't easy for the Indonesian Mennonites of that province to have this Muslim group come to work with them, because some of their family members had been killed at the hands of some of those people within that group. But it was through that experience that Pak Yani met Christians and North American Christians that changed his perspective. At one work site, Paulus Hartono asked Pak Yani to deliver a speech, and after a few words, the commander became speechless and was moved to tears. He was struck by the sincere commitment of Christians, including those from the West, whom he had hated with a passion, that they would come and help the largely Muslim population. His previous prejudice against Christians was seriously challenged by what he saw and experienced. And by 2007, he received American and Canadian MCCers into his office and later shared a meal at the MCC office, an occasion that would have been unthinkable just 4 years prior. So, Indonesian Mennonites following Christ's way have joined in interfaith and peace-building work in response to the scriptural call to live in harmony with everyone, so far as it depends on them. Being an incarnational presence in relating to the other has enabled faith-based peace builders to do what police, armies, and embassies cannot do. In June 2011, Indonesians were closely following the trial of militant Islamic leader Abu Bakr Bashir from Solo. Bashir was suspected of masterminding the Bali bombing in 2013, was arrested, but was released on certain technicalities. In 2010, he was rearrested on allegations of setting up a terrorist camp in the Aceh province. The verdict was to be announced on 16th of June, 2011. As a lead-up to the announcement, the U.S. Embassy issued a series of warnings to U.S. citizens because many assumed violence from Bashir's followers would be inevitable. The major paper in Indonesia, the Jakarta Post headline, declared, quote, "Police brace for the worst ahead of terrorist verdict." The report is reported as saying that widely circulated text messages sent in the days prior to the sentencing claim that 36 bombs were planted at various locations and would be exploded when the judges read their verdict. That was in Jakarta. Back in Solo, FPLOG members continued to proactively work at communicating between groups of people. And this was based on their years of establishing trust within the community. So the Yancis from MCC called Pak Palos to glean a sense of what the climate was in Solo. Remember, Solo is the barometer. What is the climate there? What is the pressure there? Pak Palos told the MCC team, quote, "About Abu Bakr Bashir in the city of Solo, the city of Solo remains conducive for peace. Last week, the mayor of Solo invited the various groups that exist in Solo, including the radical groups, to meet together. Mennonites were also invited. We talked a lot in anticipation of the trial verdict to keep peace in Solo. I have met again with the head of the leading militant group and several other leaders that usually respond in violence." End of quote. So the Jakarta police and the U.S. embassies braced for violence, while Paulus described Solo as conducive for peace. Within this potential for violent terrorism, there existed simultaneously a situation ripe for peace because in the midst of extreme tension, militant groups and people of faith, Muslims and Christians, were meeting and strategizing together about how to build peace. So far as it is with you, live peaceably with all. The militant group, militant groups within Indonesia had stated that any guilty verdict for Bashir would be unacceptable. So on June 16th, the verdict was read, and a term of 15 years imprisonment was announced for the 73-year-old militant cleric for committing acts of terrorism. As the guilty verdict was announced, Solo and the rest of the country remained calm. No bombs went off. No acts of violence happened. So, if nothing happens, is this even a story? I'm quite confident none of us heard about this because it didn't make news. Does it mean that the concerns about violence from police and the embassies were unfounded? No. But could it mean that the absence of violence was an indicator of change that was being built, in part on the contribution of the members of FPLOG? While there is no way of unconditionally proving a direct connection, members of FPLOG, the city government officials, including the mayor, and leaders of the militant groups in Solo have all testified to the impact of FPLOG's approach on building trust and maintaining relationships in Solo to aid a calm response. As a side note, the mayor in this story is Joko Widodo, who is now the president of the Republic of Indonesia. And he has asked FPLOG to advise the country on its approach of peace building. So this may even have an impact on the world stage as Indonesia may adopt interfaith communication as a way to build peace. Now, I know some of us will say, well, this is not ISIS. You're not dealing with ISIS. I agree. But this story identifies issues to be addressed to prevent the spawning of cell groups that further extremist positions. One of the learnings for MCC and FPLOG is that you begin with the moderates. And in turn, the moderates, both left and right, have connections and further connections that may ripple out even to groups such as ISIS. The story that Dan and Jeannie were sharing is a reminder of the parable of sowing seeds that Jesus told. The kingdom of God is as if somebody would scatter seeds on the ground and then go to sleep. The seed will sprout and grow apart from any further action of the sower. Nonetheless, the seeds are planted in faithfulness and hope. But it is God's work, God's mysterious work, that makes seeds grow. So today, as we hold course for peace, all we can do is plant seeds. God will bring around the results. We may see beautiful changes. We may be disappointed. We may need to wait years to see any impacts. We may not see impacts that were anticipated. And we may be persecuted. Yet we sow. What are some of the seeds we can sow? Paul says, honor one another above self. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute. Be willing to associate with people of low position and the other. Do not take revenge, but repay evil with good. And as we scatter these seeds, we are invited into the mystery of God's growth. Every time relationships are built across differences, every time a table is extended, every time people are received without fear and are welcomed as people God loves, then we participate in God's kingdom. Let's pray. As this new day breaks upon us, show us your mercy, O God, that we may extend it to others and live for the sake of your reign. Amen.